Quasi-Cerebral Talk and Tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. You are tuned into Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. We're the campus community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on the unceded Coast Salish territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikwetlem First Nations. This episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on the unceded Coast Salish territories at the Katsi, Kwikwetlem, and Stolo First Nations. And at Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of these lands, and we thank them for their stewardship. My name is Leslie. Happy first episode of Typically Tuesdays of 2025. I'm going to get right into it. I'm so excited for today's episode because I'm going to be talking about GFriend. GFriend, to make it very short, is like one of probably in my top three of K-pop idol girl groups, probably of all time. I'm going to be talking about them today because they just got back together for a 10-year anniversary single that they released last week. And I'm going to be taking you through some of their discography today through like a storied playlist. I'm going to be talking a little bit also about K-pop fandom and production, the way that I've seen it change the past decade or so, with particular regards to GFriend and like girl groups and stuff. We shall not waste another minute. We're gonna get right into it. I love GFriend's music because it can feel so intensely emotional at times through their beautiful melodies. They have really strong vocals, and when you watch them dance, it's like watching the gears of a machine work. It's very cool. So on today's playlist, I'm going to take you through like a story of the seasons with GFriend's music, because I feel like their melodies really evoke feelings of, you know, of the seasons of a year. We're going to start off today's playlist with the song that like really put them on the map for their choreography and their powerful vocals. This is a song I think for a lonely mid-winter. It's rough, and it's right here on Typically Tuesdays on 90.1 FM CJSF. Enjoy.
Oh, This is Bird Note.
When writer Amy Tan started journaling about nature, she wasn't trying to write another bestseller. It was 2016, and she was searching for an escape from the overt racism she felt was being directed toward her and other Asian Americans.
That was never meant to be anything more than a place for me to put my questions down and my observations. It wasn't until my editor said we should publish it that it became a book.
As she spent more time in nature, she started to fall in love with birds.
The type of love I feel for them is so special because I don't experience it with any human being or other wildlife. And it's the very fact that it is wild and it doesn't fly off in my presence and they look at me and continue to do what they're doing. It's a feeling of acceptance.
Since publishing her Backyard Bird Chronicles, which is a New York Times bestseller, by the way, Amy says people come up to her and tell her stories about their backyard birds.
I'm heartened also because once people love birds, they think they are much more interested in saving birds. That makes me feel really, really good to know how many people love birds.
For Bird Note, I'm Jonice Franklin.
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays. My name is Leslie, and you just heard G-Friend with Hear the Wind Sing. Before that, you heard Gone with the Wind, also by G-Friend, because we're doing a story little G-Friend-centric playlist. I'm taking you through the seasons with G-Friend. You know, Gone with the Wind is kind of like, I think, when spring is about to come, you know, things, you know, you're kind of like shaking out of your winter funk, I guess, and Hear the Wind Sing is really about the blooming of the flowers and the return of the animals from hibernation. It's a very, I feel like that is a song that's so full of life. I love G-Friend's music, and I love this group, and G-Friend is this six-member K-pop idol girl group that debuted in 2015, on January 15th, and they disbanded a few years ago. I had been following them, I think, maybe since summer 2016, up until they stopped performing as the full six-person group. But last week, they released a 10-year anniversary single, which is why I'm doing today's episode. And I have been very much anticipating the creation of this episode and doing this episode today, because I love this group so much. They were the K-pop group that brought me back into K-pop fandom after I had, like, I was, like, kind of done with listening to K-pop and stuff. When I was a teenager, and what a group to follow. I feel like a lot of K-pop girl group acts have not exactly lived up to my expectations, probably because I've loved G-Friend for so long, and there are a lot of reasons why I love this group. And there was a lot of reasons why I think, like, critics were kind of, like, into this group as well. You know, 10 years ago in the K-pop industry, it wasn't really as heard of for small companies to be able to create groups that would become kind of, like, overnight successes. G-Friend was pretty popular, I think, in the first year after they debuted, but they were created by a smaller company. By the time they had been active for a year, they went viral for this appearance that they did on a variety show, in which they were challenged to perform their song Rough in two times the speed. So they had to do the choreography two times faster than they normally do, and they cleared it with, like, basically no issues. It showed, I think, audiences that this group was really, really hardworking. And it also showed critics as well that this was a group that had performers that had, yeah, some kind of, like, technical mindset when it came to choreography. And I think to some extent, the inaccessibility of G-Friend's choreography, especially at the time, makes that praise so much more interesting. Because nowadays, what it is for idol groups and pop stars in general is that if they're going to do a choreography, right, there's got to be some point in it that can be accessible for their audience to copy and to, like, do that kind of, like, quote-unquote challenge or something like that and put it online, make the song popular and stuff, right? I think that kind of, like, marketing production aspect was really popularized by TWICE with their song TT, in which their most popular and accessible point of choreography is incredibly, incredibly simple. With G-Friend, it really was not like that. G-Friend somehow, it's almost as though, like, their producers challenged their choreographers to create dances that were totally inaccessible for your regular everyday viewer person. And the reason why I say this is when you go online and if you watch like performances of like their song Rough, for example, their song Fingertip, you see that what the choreographers have in mind is like the structure and formation of the six-person group. This dance can't look good and complete without some kind of sequential storytelling aspect of it. It can't look good if only, you know, like one person is having a solo. It's got to be kind of like a group effort. And I think because of that, because not everybody's doing the same dance move throughout the whole song, because everybody's got to focus on like their part, their piece in the story, it made people like them all that much more when they are able to complete this choreography challenge to do their dance at two times the speed. It made people also more interested, I think, in GFriend because they were doing something really unique by making their choreography really inaccessible for their audiences. And again, I think that's such an interesting thing. Because like, if any group is going to do that these days, they would not be popular. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more, you know, talk a little bit about how you become popular in the idol fandoms, I guess, now versus back then when GFriend was just starting out, and throughout kind of like their career, after this music break. So we're going to dip our toes into summer on this storied GFriend playlist. I do have to say, like, GFriend released a lot of songs during the summer for like maybe like 2 or 3 years, I think. At some point, I just like checked out. I did not like a lot of their summer releases. I felt like they were not being themselves. Their producers were, I don't know, they had like kind of lost the vision at some point, lost the vision of what makes GFriend so popular. But I'm excited because later on this hour, you are going to hear one of my very favorite GFriend songs. And you will hear kind of what, like a really big reason why I like them is because of the intensity and the emotionality of their melodies and their vocal performances. And it happens to be a summer GFriend fleece. But for now, here is Sweetie.
Oh,
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays. That was Navarella by GFriend. Before that, you heard Ave Maria, also by GFriend, on this storied GFriend playlist. My name is Leslie. If Ave Maria feels like, to me anyways, like a rainy summer day, Navarella is like when the clouds have parted and we gotta go out, we gotta do something, you know, we gotta make the most of our summer. I feel like Navarella is so abundant with energy that the song feels like it's exploding with a love for life. And that is the song that got me into this K-pop idol girl group, because it's just, oh my god, it feels so powerful at times. And there's like, that's like that like swelling at like the last chorus, and it's just, ooh, I love that song. I hope you did too. I've been talking about GFriend all hour, and I'm going to keep talking about GFriend for the rest of the hour, just thinking about how, whether or not like they would be as popular as they were if they had never debuted but were to debut right now in 2025. I'm just trying to think about this in a nuanced way. I don't know that they would be, because a lot of, I would say most, probably, most K-pop groups are produced by companies who are really trying to hook people in with like a catchy chorus and like a fun, easily danceable, easily recreatable choreography. This makes, I think, a lot of K-pop these days kind of accessible, because choreographers and producers are really keen on allowing their product to be distributed widely through recreation and repetition on social media, allowing for that kind of thing to go viral, allowing for that song or that dance move to go viral. Because GFriend is, I think, a pretty inaccessible group, like I had mentioned earlier, it's pretty hard to recreate their dances. It's also, I think, kind of hard to like do covers of their song. They have very good, powerful vocals that I don't think a lot of people, even in K-pop right now, are very good at like recreating. I don't know that they would super go viral. One of the things I think is because they really stand out. They're very unique, in my opinion. I'm not trying to be a pick me, and I'm not saying that GFriend are pick me's, but I think that they're very unique in the sense that like, their producers didn't seem to be super duper uber concerned with conformity, I guess, with the rest of the industry. And I think back then that was like quite a bit easier. These days, not as much, possibly because of the heavy reliance on social media and going viral. People want to be, people like get popular, and then everybody kind of like and tries to reinterpret that in their own way, and it ends up becoming kind of bland. I think in the mid-2000s there were a lot of really great K-pop idol groups, K-pop girl groups that came out that were all pretty different, and that made for being like a girl group liker, like much more fun. I mean, I even think about just like the name GFriend. Nobody actually calls GFriend GFriend. Even if you're a fan, even if you're like, if you're a non-Korean fan, you call them by like their kind of Korean legal birth name, which is Yeoja Chingu. Yeoja Chingu means girlfriend in Korean. They just use the letters GFriend kind of in their marketing, I guess. And that was really different, because most other girl groups were coming out with names that were like foreign. They were like English names, or they were like, you know, English letters mashed up, and it was supposed to stand for something in English. It was really different back then. I can't help but to feel right now that, frankly, that like K-pop kind of feels like really like not fun oatmeal. Do you know when you like, if you like make oatmeal, that's just oatmeal, oatmeal, right? Like it's just oats, maybe like some kind of like milk in it, and then water, maybe some sugar or salt or whatever it is, but there's nothing else really in there. There's no, you know, spices, there's no fruits or vegetables, I guess if you're going for a savory type thing, and it just becomes this kind of like bland, one note textural experience. There's no creaminess, there's no crunchiness, there's no pops of spice, there's no warmth in there. That's kind of how K-pop to me, idol groups to me, feel like these days. And while I appreciate, you know, like the accessibility of, I think, these like simple dance moves and these like catchy songs, I don't all that much appreciate how one note it has all become. For an idol fangirl who's been into this stuff for years, it really does make like trying to follow the industry less interesting and less fun. So I'm not sure all that much that GFRIEND would become like super uber popular if they were to like debut right now, because they're very different from everybody else. But maybe that by virtue is their good thing, right? Is that they like really stand out. They have this unique sound that has so much emotionality in it. And these like really strong performances. And I'm gonna get emotional if I keep talking about this group right now. Okay, we're gonna listen to music. This next track is like the final frontier, kind of. This is the last song that GFRIEND put out right before they disbanded, which made their disbandment so much weirder. Like, felt came out of nowhere because GFRIEND was like really like gaining a lot of attention for this song, and they had like started exploring this like different side of them that was like really like mature and became really playful as well. The members of the group have always been outwardly very playful, but the song kind of leaned into it. Watch the music video. It is so colorful, it is so fun, again mature and playful, and this is the feeling that you get right before the end of summer break and you're like, I need to have one more night out. That's Mago by GFRIEND. Enjoy.
In summer, snow geese nest in the Arctic and subarctic from far northeastern Russia to Greenland. But in winter, some may spend the season near you. Here's how author and naturalist Barry Lopez describes the flight of snow geese. I remember watching a large flock rise one morning from a plowed field about a mile distant. I'd been watching clouds, the soft, buoyant, wind-blown edges of immaculate cumulus. The birds rose against much darker clouds to the east. There was something vaguely ominous in this apparition, as if the earth had opened, poured them forth, like a wind, a blizzard, which unfurled across the horizon above the dark soil, becoming wider and higher in the sky than my field of vision could encompass. Great swirling currents of birds in a rattling of wings, one fluid recurved sweep of 10,000 passing through the open spaces in another, counterflying flock, while beyond them, lattice after lattice passed like sliding walls, until in the whole sky, you lost your depth of field and felt as though you were looking up from the floor of the ocean through shoals of fish. To view an amazing video and find out where you, too, might see snow geese, visit our website, birdnote.org. I'm Michael Stein.
You just heard G-Friend with Eclipse and Eye of the Storm before that. My name is Leslie. You're tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Hope you enjoyed this kind of like storied playlist of G-Friend's music. I hope I've given you an avenue to try to check out their music. And I hope I've made you kind of like interested in some intense fangirl thoughts about girl group idols and the K-pop and stuff like that. Please let me have this. I love this group so much. Most of all, I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the show. Thank you so much for tuning in. One final track for today. If Eclipse and Eye of the Storm in the storied playlist are the intensity of autumn, like a stormy autumn torrential downpour night, and also the chaos of like preparing for holiday time, this final track is the winter of reflexivity and healing and rebirth. Both G-Friend and I are born in winter, and so I really lean into the idea that winter is actually a time for renewal. Here is Memoria, one of my absolute favorites from G-Friend. I hope you enjoy it just as much as I do. I'm Leslie. Memoria. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM, and I'll talk to you very soon. Memoria.